Our scripture today comes from the book of Luke, chapter 10, verses 38 through 42. It's one of those great stories that we've all heard before. Now, as they went on their way, he entered a certain village where a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. She had a sister named Mary who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to what he was saying. But Martha was distracted by her many tasks. So she came to him and asked, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? Tell her to get up and help me." But the Lord answered her, "Martha, Martha, you're worried and distracted by many things. There is need of only one thing. Mary has chosen the better part, which will not be taken away from her." The word of God for the people of God.
Thank our brother in Christ for sharing the word of truth that can be trusted. Would you please join with me in an attitude of prayer? Father, we want to thank you for this day that you have given us. Thank you for the truth that speaks into our lives through your word, through your presence, through your love and grace. Help us to simply stop and be open to that. It's in the name of our Savior that we pray it all. Amen. Thomas Friedman is a columnist for the New York Times and wrote a column called "The Taxi Driver." He was in France and the taxi driver was taking him from Charles de Gaulle Airport to Paris. During the one-hour trip, he and the driver had done six things. The driver had driven the cab, talked on his cell phone, and, true story, watched a video. Friedman says this is a little nerve-wracking, I can imagine. Whereas Friedman, as he'd been riding, worked on a column on his laptop and listened to his iPod. There was only one thing they had not done on that 1 hour. Do you know what it was? Talked to each other. No, there was a lot of prayer while the cab driver was watching the video. There was a lot of prayer. Believe me, extensive prayer. If he could have gotten down onto his knees in that back of that cab, he would have been praying. They had not talked to one another. They had not listened to one another. Linda Stone, a technologist, has written that a disease of the internet age is, quote, continuous partial attention, end quote. Not necessarily being able to tune in and simply listen. Anyone that has had the experience of someone else saying to them genuinely and authentically and intimately, "Thank you for listening." Anyone that's had that experience knows what a phenomenal gift that is. Also, knows what a challenge it can be simply to listen. Maybe it's somebody coming at you that immediately in your mind you think, okay, what doorway can I jump into to avoid this person? Or this person just goes on and on and on. Maybe it's someone that continues to repeat the same story to you over and over again. Don't elbow the person next to you. Don't you dare. I see some of you doing it right now after I said don't do it. Or maybe it's somebody that you've never met before, but somehow there's an interaction there that takes place and God speaks into the situation. You know, I've shared with you that experiment that I'd like you to join with me in, that whenever you're at a store, whenever you're at the checkout line, simply thank the person that's there and say, "We all appreciate your good work." Now, that person may look at you, then look around and wonder if you have multiple personalities or if you're okay. Maybe they just want you to get through the line. They're a little bit nervous by that comment. But you know, whenever we offer just a simple inkling, an iota of grace to another person, and sometimes it's in simply listening to that person, that can be a wonderful and powerful working of God in our lives, in their life as well. The scripture reading today is the scripture that directly follows the passage that we had last week. The passage last week was the story of the Good Samaritan. It wasn't simply a story about doing good. It wasn't simply saying, do something nice for somebody else. What it was be willing to be stretched by God's grace wherever and whoever you're with. It was something a lot deeper, something a lot more intimate, something that requires us at the deepest place where we are right there on the journey. And it requires us to be open to how God is working at that deep place inside of us and working out of us as well. And in this passage today, Jesus is continuing towards Jerusalem. Let me share how it reads out of The Voice, a new translation of the Bible. Jesus continued from there toward Jerusalem and came to another village. Martha, a resident of that village, welcomed Jesus into her home. Her sister Mary went and sat at Jesus' feet, listening to him teach. Meanwhile, Martha was anxious about all the hospitality arrangements. Martha, speaking here, interrupting Jesus. Lord, why don't you care that my sister is leaving me to do all the work by myself? Tell her to get over here and help me. Jesus replying, oh, Martha, Martha, you are so anxious and concerned about a million details. Really, only one thing matters. Mary has chosen that one thing, and I won't take it away from her. Jesus is heading towards Jerusalem. He continues on the journey to the cross. Jesus continues on that journey that would take him to crucifixion, to a painful death, to a sacrifice, so that we would all be able to have that free and wonderful and grace-filled and loving relationship with God. Jesus continues on that journey, but along the way, he doesn't miss an opportunity to teach and to speak God's grace into those lives that are put in front of him. First by saying that sometimes you're going to have to help someone that you may not even like, you may be stretched by how God is working through your life. And then by saying, sometimes you need to stop and stop everything that you're doing, everything that you feel is important, and simply listen to God. I like the translation that I read because it says appropriately that Martha interrupted Jesus. Sometimes we think, well, Martha would have just been waiting and waiting. But, you know, she was running around like a chicken with her head cut off. And she was getting all sorts of things done. And she thought, boy, I'm doing the most important thing and I'm showing hospitality. And certainly, in essence, the work and effort that she was pouring out was not wrong. It was simply misplaced. It was about somehow lifting herself up so that Jesus would say, wow, you have shown great hospitality, Martha. Awesome job. Did he ever say that to her? No. And so finally, she just starts getting fed up and says, "Hey, JC, over here." Interrupting. Simply interrupting. I like that in that translation because I can imagine her doing that. Jesus' response is interesting, isn't it? Still one of grace in this situation. When Jesus needed to be very blunt, certainly he was. But here, it's also a mixture of clarity and grace and God's love. Saying, "Martha, your effort isn't wrong. It's simply that you're not focused on the most important thing. God in your midst." That's the most important thing. That's the one thing that Jesus is talking about. God in our midst. We can say that in a lot of different ways. Our personal saving relationship with God through Jesus. How God is speaking into our lives. God's grace and love. But it is all about God in our midst. That's the one thing that matters. Are we simply aware of that? Of that gift? Remember, being aware of God in our midst is not turning back to someone who's going to punish us, who's going to slap our wrist in a cosmic, awesome way, but rather being open to one who's going to be filling us and nurturing us and nourishing us and strengthening us for the journey ahead. Jesus knew where his journey was taking him, to the cross. Where is our journey? Where is our journey as we finally hand our lives over to God? As we truly say, honestly, "Lord, I'm going to trust you more than myself, more than anyone else. I'm going to hand it over to you." Where is your life taking you? It's a short scripture, but it's a powerful one. And it's one that reminds us that within the church as well, we are called to not be anxious. And Christians individually are called not to be anxious, like Martha was, but rather simply to be in the season and place that God puts us. When Christians are anxious, and therefore when the church is guided by anxiety rather than grace, what happens is that the community dwells in the shadows of frantic potlucks. You ever been involved in a frantic potluck? Everybody running around? You know, I think my casserole is the best, so we're going to give it a place of honor on the table. Anxious stewardship campaigns, always worrying about money, and events designed simply to perpetuate the institution. Decisions in such a church, in such a body of Christ, and this is a body of Christ, all of us gathered here together, we're in this together on this journey. Decisions made based on anxiousness are made without a hint of God's reign, of the kingdom of God being present, of us being kingdom builders. Any of you who have attended meetings here know one of the questions that we ask. It's not simply a meeting, but we ask this question: how is this furthering God's reign? How is this building God's kingdom? You see? It's always about that. It's always about that. It's not about us. It's not about building an edifice to us or perpetuating an institution. It is about building the kingdom of God. Something greater, something bigger, something eternal, something lasting. For each and every one of us, every time we worship, we are part of that. Something awesome and wondrous and eternal. Congregation or gathering of the body of Christ that bases their decisions or whatever they do on being anxious can get downright, and this is maybe a word you've never heard before, and I don't mean it directed at anybody here particularly, but can get downright ornery. Has anybody ever said you were ornery? It might even be the pastor who said you're ornery, hasn't it? Some of you can shout out amen if you want to, that's fine. There's ornery that's good, that I encourage, okay? Then there's the other kind of ornery that just tears things apart and is negative and is anything but building the kingdom of God. When we, like Mary, are at Christ's feet, okay? When we are like Mary at Christ's feet, imagine yourself being at Christ's feet, then we are about reading Scripture together and asking after its meaning. Scripture is a focal point, isn't it? It is. Then we are about, like Jacob, wrestling with how God is at work in our lives. And it's okay to wrestle with God. It really is. Your arms are too short to box with God, but it's okay to wrestle with God. And we are also about studying and nurturing a faith that seeks understanding. You see, Martha's speech was centered on her, on me, me. She refers to Jesus as Lord, but that's only lip service, because it's really about Jesus helping her with her plans. You understand that? Sending her sister over, sure, but Jesus, listen, I have the best plan for my life, okay? If you could just help me out with this, everything's going to be great. When have we said that to God? Have we said that to God in our lives? Lord, if you just followed what I wanted, everything's going to be really copacetic. Everything's going to be fine. For us, it's about being tuned in to where God wants us to be, how God wants us to follow Him. There's a rather theological movie that came out years ago called City Slickers. Anybody ever seen it? A whole bunch of guys going to a dude ranch out someplace, maybe in Arizona, I have no idea. Maybe it was there. They're trying to find themselves. And they had this kind of button-down lifestyle, and they go out there, and it revolves around their decision to go on a cattle drive and kind of find out who they really are. The boss of this cattle drive is a leathery old cowboy named Curly. And he lives up to the stereotypes about cowboys. One of the more serious scenes of this comedy, and it is a comedy overall, is Curly riding alongside of one of these city slickers, Billy Crystal. And the conversation turns to this. Curly says, you know, you city folk, you worry a lot. Now, how old are you? 38? And Billy Crystal says, well, actually, I'm 39. You all come up here for the same reason. You spend 50 weeks getting knots in your rope, and you think 2 weeks up here will untie all those knots that you have in your back and neck and all through your body. None of you get it. You know what the secret of life is? Curly continues, one thing, just one thing. You stick to that, and everything else don't mean nothing. That's great, Billy says, but what's the one thing? Tell me. Curly looks at him for a minute and says, that's what you've got to figure out. Keeping God at the center of our lives and having a balance in doing so is what the Scripture is all about. Certainly, there are times when we have to dig in and get our hands dirty. No question about it. There's work to be done around the church. And it's necessary. And when everybody pitches in and helps, the body of Christ is better, the kingdom of God is furthered. But there's also other times when we really need to stop in the midst of our franticness and just listen. Maybe it's in opening up and reading a familiar chapter in the Bible or verses. Or maybe it's simply being silent and listening for God's voice in your life. Here's another story of how one person was able to experience how God was speaking to them. Dr. Theodore J. Wardlaw shares, a man goes on vacation with his family. It's been a long year. He's looking forward to the suspension of the daily routine. He is ready to put away the calendar and get beyond a telephone and do things different for a little while. But without noticing it, remember, he's going on vacation, the to-do list for his vacation is as long as the to-do list back at the office. Anybody empathize with this? Read those novels, go to the museum, take this hike, eat at this restaurant, get these chores done on the mountain house, buy and absorb these journals and newspapers. Until one night, early on in the 2 weeks away, and soon enough for him to catch himself, his little four-year-old says, "Daddy, will you read me my stories tonight?" He stretches out on the bed next to her, and they read. Because she's tired, he knows that as soon as his last story is finished, he can get back to his novel and begin planning the events of the day to come. But here is what happens instead. And God speaks in these moments as well. When the last story is over, the little four-year-old says to her daddy, "Daddy, will you just sit here until I fall asleep?" And so he does. And with the light out, while she sings herself to sleep, he listens to her voice fade quietly away, and then to her breathing, and then to the curtain rustling quietly as a soft breeze ushers cool night air into the room, and then to the holy sounds made by the presence of God. He is aware of the fullness of time, and the keeping of time is not as important as he is thankful. People need more time like that. How is your balance in your walk of faith? Is it too much of one thing and not of another? This is not a criticism. And this is not a time that you should walk away from feeling guilty at all. This is a time that you should walk away thinking, where is my perspective? Is God central in my life? As you hear the music, think about that just for a moment. How is the balance of your life? How's the balance of work, of listening, of prayer, of ministry? Join with me in a few moments of reflection.